Okay. What do I want you to take home this week? One sentence. And it's simply this. Choose faith so that you can choose faithfulness. Choose faith so that you can choose faithfulness. The year was 1905. And this young buck mathematician, I think he was in his 20s when this happened. This young buck German mathematician with wild hair and a big bushy mustache came up with a very, very simple mathematical equation. And that equation absolutely turned the world on its ear. It completely changed how we know and understand the world in which we live. What was the equation? Isn't that amazing? I didn't tell you the name at all. I don't know if you're mathematicians at all, but how many of us, 20 to 30 to 40 of us, just all of a sudden said E equals MC squared? Now, I am not a mathematician. I am not German like Albert Einstein. I do not have wild enough hair, and I cannot grow a mustache that is that big and bushy. So I can't tell you the intimacy and the intricate details of what that equation means. But let me tell you, I can tell you the basic of it, and the basics of that equation have absolutely changed not my mathematical knowledge. They have changed my spiritual heart. E equals MC squared. All right, let's test it out and see if you remember. E stands for what? Energy. Equals M. M stands for what? Mass. Times C. Now, the word does not start with C. I don't know where they got the C. But what is C? Speed of light. Squared. Energy equals mass. That is my version of this. Energy equals mass. All right, mass. You know, mass. You're sitting in a pew. Oh, okay. That pew is made out of cloth and wood. Mass. And you're surrounded by this church building that's made out of brick and plaster. Mass. 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 Every speck of dust in this universe, every rock, every asteroid, every planet, every sun, everything is made out of mass. You are made of mass. What is mass? Energy. What? Yeah. You are made up of millions upon billions, upon trillions of atoms. What is that atom composed of? It's this tiny little nucleus. And in that atom, there are spinning protons, neutrons, electrons. And those protons and electrons have charges, electrical charges to them. Energy. And if you want to know the power of that energy, think back into the 1940s, back to 1944 and 45, when for the very first time they succeeded in splitting an atom and creating a nuclear explosion. The atomic age began. They had no idea how powerful this would be. It stunned them to see what they had just unleashed. To go in and to split an atom, the energy, that is what you and I are made of. Mass is somehow, in some deep, mysterious way, concentrated physical form of energy. Oh, okay. Now, I want you to know something that is obvious, but I want you to hear it. For me, I happen to believe, as a pastor, in this creating force, in this energy that is around us that we call God. Maybe you believe in God. I don't know what your God looks like. I don't know what your God smells like, sounds like, how you would define God. I don't know. But what I do know is that there are millions upon millions upon millions of people on the face of this planet who do not believe in God. Now, maybe that's simply because they've looked at the God in our culture and said, nope, I'm out. Or maybe it's simply because their religion doesn't have the concept of a creating God. But whatever it is, I never take for granted the fact that I choose, here it is, here's the word choose, I choose faith in a living and creating God. Not a God that created, in a God that's creating. The universe is expanding all the time. All the time. I believe in a God who continues to create. And, oh, as a matter of fact, is still creating. You know what? All those years ago when I was born, all those years ago when you were born, the body that you have right now is not that body. Because every single atom, every single molecule has been replaced over the period of your lifetime. Matter of fact, it's been replaced multiple times. And where did that mass come from in the first place? Well, I don't even know. All right. Let me bring you in on a secret. I love the conversations that I have with my friends who are atheists. They are amazing conversations. And as part of those, I get to ask, well, okay, if you don't believe in God, tell me, what do you believe in? And never, ever, never think that an atheist does not believe in things. Those who are our friends and neighbors who are atheists have deep, powerful beliefs. It's just that it's a belief in a different direction. And so they will say to me, well, tell me what you believe. And tell me how you believe, but here's the ultimate question. Here's what it comes down to. And, dear pastor, can you prove to me that there's a God? Well, I have been to seminary. I have read books. I have sat through lectures. I have had the bishop lay his hand on me and make me be a pastor. So, pastor, can you prove that there's a God? No. No, no, I can't. In my first year of seminary, there was a class that I took that was teaching me the ancient forms of, here's how ancient Christian spiritual fathers and mothers proved in logic that God exists. And I eventually got to a point where I had absorbed all of this and then finally said, wait a minute, no. All right, let's say that you didn't believe in God, and you came to me and you said, okay, Scott, prove to me that there's a God. And so I lay all the arguments out for you, and then what's your response? No, I don't believe it. You can't prove the existence of God. All right, somebody comes to you and says, prove to me that there's air. Well, I can't show you air. But wait, I can show you the side effects of air. I can show you some of the qualities of air. Coldest temperature that I ever experienced was in my hometown. It was 45 below. And on that morning, I didn't have to go out. I wanted to go out because I'd never experienced that before. And so I went out and the air was just crystalline. It was so amazingly beautiful. And I stood on my front lawn and I breathed out that huge plume of water vapor into the air. Aha! See? You see? There's breath. There's air. Or then the wind blows and I can say, I can see where there's air and I can feel where there's air. But I couldn't prove to you that there's air. Now, there are scientific ways to do that, of course. But at that moment of time, no. Did you know that there are parts of our sight that we cannot see? There are levels of the light waves that we cannot see. Ultraviolet, infrared. Now, I know they're there, but I can't see them. And did you know that there are things that we cannot hear because we can't hear high enough? Dog whistles. And we can't hear low enough? Whales and elephants. I can't hear them, but I know they're there. All right. I cannot prove to you that there's a God. I cannot prove to you that this is true. But I absolutely can point you toward the truth. I can't prove to you that it's true, but I can tell you that it is truth. Absolutely, deeply, profoundly, and that truth changes lives. That's the power of God in our midst. How do we find that out? I love this as part of our tradition. For thousands of years, there have been those people within our midst who have a very, very special connection with God. Some of you have that connection. It's an amazing thing. It's like a sixth sense where we get to have that sense of who is God. This has been true for thousands of years. And when we go back in the Bible, we say names like Noah. Noah had conversations with God and understood God in deep, deep ways. Moses, who would shine. He literally radiated with the power and the presence of God. Isaiah, the prophet, Jesus himself, and today we heard the words from Jeremiah. And I love these words. These words that say, I am bringing to you a new covenant. This is not like the old covenant. You see, these people with these special relationships and ability to communicate with God would bring that communication back to the people around them. And they would make these promises, these two-way relationships, these two-way promises that were covenants. And Jeremiah said, I am bringing a covenant to you, but it is not like the old covenant where God made the covenant and then people just broke it. He said this, no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest. They'll all know me. There is a power that you and I live in that is the power of covenant. Even if we don't recognize it, even if we don't believe it, it's still there. Well, as Christians, you and I will recognize this in our baptisms. All right, Tanner, bring her up. I want to introduce you to Claire. Claire is 8 months old. She is the firstborn daughter of Chad and Katie Boussier. Chad works down at Wolf Plumbing, and Katie works for Regional down at Queen City. And this is their first daughter. Katie's mom and dad are Jim and Lolly Mead, and Katie was raised in this church. Oh my goodness, I have so much fun when I'm working with this. You know what? Last night, I got to hold this little butterball of an eight-month-old. Oh my gosh, look at those cheeks. This is what health looks like. Have you ever stopped to consider that this little butterball of a girl is mass? Mass. Are you ready for the jump here? That little butterball of a girl that I was holding was the miracle of God's life in my hands, because she is mass. She is trillions of atoms. She is the very creating energy of the Lord our God present in our lives. And we baptized her. Claire has not a clue what happened to her last night. This tall guy, this tall stranger, held her, flipped her over, and put water on her head as she stared at me with big eyes and eventually started to cry, not knowing what in the heck was going on. And all I had to do was to tip her upright so she could see Mom and Dad, and she was fine. She has not a clue. Not a clue what just happened. How can we baptize little girls? How can we baptize butterballs? Let me tell you how. Let me tell you what the point of this is. In our tradition, what we absolutely believe in is that the power of baptism is first of all in the recognition that this is not about your response. The very first thing is that you have been born into the living grace of God. The first breath that you took was the breath of God. And God was there to catch you into this life. We believe that God loved us first. And so, I take a little butterball in my arms with a pink dress and a pink ribbon, and I put water on her head, and we name that girl, and we claim that girl in the name of Jesus Christ into community. Now starts her journey. She doesn't know this. Now starts her journey into learning how to respond to God. To learn how to choose faith. I don't know how to tell Claire that God is true. All I know how to do is to teach Claire what is truth. Because E equals MC squared. And Claire is a child of God, literally the energy of God in physical form. And I can help teach her to choose faith. And in the years that lie ahead, Claire will grow. And she will learn her beliefs, and she will eventually become an adult, and she will know. And my invitation to Claire, again and again and again, 3 years from now, she's going to get her first invitation that says, Bible school, come to children's church. She's going to get her invitation that says, come to weddings and come to funerals and come to eat meals and come and come and come and be part of a church and live and grow so that when she chooses faith, she can choose faithfulness. From here on out, what we are teaching Claire. Oh, show me the whole family, will you? I love this. Claire never stopped wiggling the whole time. So that we together can say, this is who we are. And now, Claire, oh, my darling little girl, as you grow, now we get to teach you faithfulness. If you choose faith, then here's what that means. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not be jealous. Thou shalt. And we're going to teach you what it means to love. And we're going to teach you what it means to be humble. And we're going to teach you, and you're going to grow. We choose faith so that we can choose faithfulness. And for many of us, this begins in our baptism. That baptism, that is the sign, is the symbol that says you have been named and claimed by a loving God. And there's nothing that you can do that is going to make God love you more or make God love you less. You're going to have to choose. Let me give you one of the moments that was so powerful for me. I was 15 years old. It was Easter morning. And as a 15-year-old, I was wrestling with the huge problem of, I don't know, does God exist? Does God not? I want God to exist. I want this to be real. And lo and behold, one of the college kids came home, and he preached for Easter sunrise service. Rod. And Rod, in his sermon, actually had the audacity, he had the gall, he had the guts to say something that somebody had never been able to say in my presence. And Rod said, I can't prove God. All I can do is choose faith. Oh, this sermon today, it's recycled. This sermon today, all I'm telling you is what I heard when I was 15 years old. And Rod said, I can't prove God to you. There's going to come a time when all you can do is make a leap of faith. When all you can do is to say, I choose to believe. And maybe God's real. And maybe God's not real. But there's a point when we just have to jump. When we just have to jump. Choose faith so that we can choose faithfulness. Last story. Little boy goes out into the backyard to his favorite climbing tree. He loved this climbing tree. He was about 7 years old, and he climbed up and up and up, and he got to his favorite branch, and he loved that branch. It was a great Saturday, Sunday afternoon, and as he sat there, it was wonderful, and then came the time to come down. 7-year-old boys are really good at going up, but they're not always real good about coming down. And the only thing he could do was sit on the branch and scream for his dad. Dad! 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 Can you help me? Again. His dad knew where he was going. His dad was expecting this holler. And so his dad sauntered out of the back door into the backyard. And he said, okay, so you still haven't figured out how to get down, huh? He said, no, Dad, you know how scary this is. And his dad said, okay, come on, I'm going to teach you how to do this. All right, I want you to lay on the branch. All right, now I want you to come down with your arms, and I want you to just hang there. Okay, can you do that? And so here's a 7-year-old boy hanging from a branch. And his dad says, all right, now, you see me underneath you. You see me below you, right? Yeah. Let go. Dad, I can't do that. Let go. I'm going to catch you. Let go. What does a 7-year-old boy do? Do you let go? Or do you not? And he let go. I cannot prove to you that there's a God. And there's going to come a time when God is going to say to you, let go. Just jump. And that's the point. That's the point where we learn, is there a real God or is there not? I believe in that real God. And I believe that E equals MC squared. I believe that we are the living physical embodiment of the creating energy of this God who is still creating the universe. I believe, for God so loved the world that he gave his only born son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have life eternal. Yeah. I believe that. Choose faith so that you can choose faithfulness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, we want to celebrate this day. Simply celebrate the imagination and the joy. We want to celebrate the love and the laughter, and Lord, we even have to celebrate the tears and the sorrow that we live through, knowing that you are there to walk with us, but knowing that sometimes it's hard to believe that you're there to walk with us. And so we simply ask that you would help us to choose faith. And then, Lord, meet us in faithfulness. Catch us. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen.